Good evening. Tonight's scripture reading will be coming from 1 Peter 1, verses 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable and undefiled and unfading and kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through the faith for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time.
Thank you, Nick. Good to see Nick. He's not been feeling all that great this week, but he never gives up. Did you notice that word that he said in the scripture reading? Guarded. And that's what the lesson's about tonight. The lesson is about guarded. Jesus used the expression of a hen with her wings out. And certainly a hen will guard her chicks even from the attack of a hawk. She'll still stay right there and guard her chicks. A great thunderstorm comes down and rain falls and the little chicks might drown, but the hen puts her wings out there to give them shelter. The cold wind comes and the hen keeps her wings out there to keep them warm. The hot sun bakes down and the hen provides shade with her wings. Matthew 23:37, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Here's Jesus lamenting over this place, standing and looking at it and thinking what it could be, but what it's not. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together, the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were unwilling. God's not unwilling. Jesus is not unwilling. Their spirit is not unwilling. The church is not unwilling. But sometimes we individually are unwilling to get under those wings and receive God's blessing. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your chicks together the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were unwilling. Behold, your house is being left to you desolate. All those many who refuse to believe Jesus, refuse to see the miracles, refuse to let the signs that were given cause them to believe and to repent and to follow Jesus, their house was left to them desolate. All those Jewish religious leaders who clung on to their old ways and clung on to their spot of leadership and not willing to transfer that over to Jesus and let him be the leader, their house is being left to them desolate. And so I see this picture on the internet that I did steal this time. And it's a picture of an old chicken coop, you know, a long one, the kind where you put a whole bunch of chickens in there. When I was a kid, I had 100 chickens. I bought them as chicks, and I raised them, and I fed them, and I was selling at least 80 eggs a day out of those 100 chickens. They were amazing producers. Often they would give me what we called double yolkers. Have you ever seen a double yolk? Those were some amazing chickens. And I'd go up and down the streets with a paper bag with 12 eggs per paper bag, and I would try to sell those eggs. People would come to the house and buy the eggs. One lady came to the house and she said, I only want to buy these eggs if your chickens are clean. Do you keep them clean? I said, yes, we keep them upstairs. And I was 14 years old, and I don't know where I came up with that, but she looked at me and growled and bought the eggs nevertheless. But this is a desolate hen house for whatever reason. But the hen house could look like this, you know. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your chicks together the way a hen gathers, her chicks under her wings, and you were unwilling. Behold, your house is being left to you desolate, for I say to you, from now on you will not see me until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So here's a situation where if they would make a transition from being nasty-minded, from refusing Christ, from being self-willed and turn over their lives to Jesus, they would have a brand new hen house, beautiful red and white, with windows that slide up and little doors that they could go in at night and be safe. I had a half German shepherd, half collie, and I would just tell him, put the chickens in. And he would put the chickens in those little door, in those little holes every night. He was an amazing dog. I'd go to school and I'd tell him, get in the fence. He'd jump over the fence and he'd be there when I came home. I'd tell him, come on out. He'd get out. That was one of the most incredible dogs I ever met. But that's, you know, that's the kind of obedience God would like us to have with him, you know. He gives us these boundaries. He says, you stay within those, you know. And it would be good if when he comes and checks on us, we're still there, amen? And the nice chicken coop, you know. In Jesus, we find every spiritual blessing. Outside him, we've got a chicken coop that looks like that. Not good at all. Why was Jesus making this lament over Jerusalem? It was not really so much for the crowds, because the crowds pretty much followed him. The crowds had received him. The crowds had rejoiced. You could go back a few chapters and find that actually what he said people must do, they'd already done. It says, when they had approached Jerusalem and had come to Bethpage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied there and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them, and immediately he will send them. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, gentle and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. The disciples went and did just as Jesus had instructed them, and brought the donkey and the colt, and laid their coats on them, and he sat on the coats. Most of the crowd spread their coats in the road, and others were cutting branches from the trees and spreading them in the road. The crowds going ahead of him and those who followed were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest! You see, the people in general had already done what Jesus said they must do in order to not have a desolate house. And when he had entered Jerusalem, all the city was stirred, saying, who is this? And the crowds were saying, this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee. And Jesus entered the temple and drove out all those who were buying and selling in the temple, and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who were selling doves. And he said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a robber's den. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. Jesus even now wants the falsely religious people to change or get out of his way. You know, there's that old saying, you've got the donkey cart and you've got a guy on the front trying to push it and a guy on the back trying to push it, and the sign says, push, pull, or get the blank out of the way. How many of you seen that? I don't want to fill in that blank for you, but push, pull, or get out of the way. And that's kind of what Jesus was doing. Get these people out of this temple with their garbage and their extortion and their evil motives, and let's use it for what God made it for. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he had done, and the children who were shouting in the temple, Hosanna to the Son of David, they became indignant and said to him, do you hear what these children are saying? And Jesus said to them, yes. Have you never read? Now he's talking to these religious experts, right? Have you never read? Out of the mouth of infants and nursing babes, you have prepared praise for yourself. And he left them and went out of the city to Bethany and spent the night there. Unbelievers get indignant instead of blessed, even now. He had been acknowledged by the crowds, and the religious leaders were trying to destroy faith and turn his crowds away. Matthew 23, 1 through 3, then Jesus spoke to the crowds and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees have seated themselves in the chair of Moses. Therefore, all that they tell you, do and observe, but do not do according to their deeds. For they say things and do not do them. Desolate or guarded? Well, look at their chicken coop in about AD 70. Those people that rejected Jesus and would teach others to reject Jesus and would crucify the Son of God and not repent of it and think that they were going to still worship at God's temple. And God said, bye-bye temple, less than 40 years after all that took place. Mark chapter 13, 1 through 2, as he was going out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, Teacher, behold what wonderful stones and what wonderful buildings. And Jesus said to him, Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left upon another, which will not be torn down. You know, when those buildings were torn down, there was no seed that sprouted back up. They were torn down. You know, look at the great things God has made. I put the picture, I like to put those pictures of the things that God has made up, you know. They've got seeds. When they die, another one comes up. Even before they die, other ones are coming up. But when God destroyed this situation, it hasn't sprung up yet. However, when we learn, when we learn of Jesus and when we follow Him, God becomes the guardian of our soul. Regardless of what happens to our physical body or the place we live, God becomes the guardian of our soul. That Greek word phroreo, I need Mitch to pronounce that for me later or now if he wants, but phroreo, to guard, guarding, to be kept in custody, as in protective custody. Remember when Paul was kept in protective custody because so many people wanted to kill him? And the guard said, hey, you better come with me, you know. Protected. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time, as that hen spreads her wonderful wings over her chicks. God is guarding us, and He's a much stronger guard. Don't get scared. It's just a picture. We might ask why we need such protection. Why do we need God's wings over us? But surely we recall that lion. In 1 Peter 5:8, be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, he's not your buddy, your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Now, a man who had been a missionary in Africa, and I'll quote the African man who spoke to him and said, lions hunt silently. The only lion who roars when it's hunting is a wounded lion. Is that lion wounded? Lions usually prowl and hunt silently. Peter says, be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. But resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory in Christ, will Himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To Him be dominion forever and ever. Amen. Only a wounded lion roars when hunting. An anonymous African from about 70 years ago. Genesis 3, 14 through 15. The Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you more than all cattle, and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you will go, and dust you will eat all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel." God protects us because the lion is prowling and also still deceiving. That wounded lion who's had his head bruised. And the serpent and the lion, they do not work alone. 2 Corinthians 11:12 through 15, "But what I am doing, I will continue to do, so that I may cut off opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the matter about which they are boasting. For such men are false apostles." We studied about that this morning, didn't we? Not to listen to every spirit, because there are deceitful spirits and spirits of the Antichrist out there. He says, "For such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. No wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end will be according to their deeds. On the day of judgment, when the dead in Christ shall rise and everyone shall come out of their graves, these that he speaks of will go into an eternal lake of fire." Satan is an outsider, but some of his servants come from among us and they speak perverse things, so beware. In Acts chapter 20, 28 through 30, "Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock." This is Paul speaking to the elders at Ephesus. "Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves, men will arise speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them." We have to be careful of the dangers from outside. We have to be careful of the dangers from inside. And the way that we know what is right and what is safe and what is productive and what gives us hope and confidence for our future in heaven is to read and understand and live the Word of God. Just as was in the lesson this morning, it is a confession we make by the way that we live. Be it a chicken coop or a temple. In Psalm 127:1, "Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain." For those who would not turn to Jesus and say, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," it was desolation. Their chicken coop would be in ruins and their temple would be torn down. But for those who would say, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," understanding this is the Messiah for whom we have been waiting, we will follow him. Their chicken coop gets all pretty real quick. If we become his children and stay faithful to him, he guards our souls. Galatians 3:26 through 29, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ." Have you ever thought of that clothing as a shield? It's a clothing that causes us to be forgiven of our sins, but it also causes us to be guarded by God for a salvation to be revealed in the last days. "There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free man, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to his promise." Under the wings of God, under his promises, under his protective guard, waiting for the day when Jesus calls us home. The blessings are found and the souls are guarded in the Lord's house. If you have desire to have the blessings, you must be where the blessings are found, which is in Jesus Christ. clothed in him, under the protective wings of our God and Father. For he says in Ephesians 1:3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." In Christ. Every spiritual blessing. That doesn't mean that the rain won't fall upon us. It doesn't mean the lion won't attack us. It doesn't mean that the wolf won't be among us. But it means that we're blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Because in Christ, we're already a part of the heavenly scene. We're already a part of the new Jerusalem that will come down from heaven. We're already a part of the Israel of God. The house under his wings is not just physical Jerusalem. Ephesians 2:17 through 22, "And he came and preached peace to you who were far away," not physical Jerusalem only, "and peace to those who were near," physical Jerusalem. "For through him we both have our access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit." And that ain't no chicken coop. Amen. If we have been baptized into Jesus, we are the heavenly Jerusalem. Hebrews 12:22 through 24, "But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to myriads of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood which speaks better than the blood of Abel." Things are cleansed by blood, we learn in the book of Hebrews, and we must be cleansed in the blood of Jesus Christ, because that's how we become part of that new covenant in God, part of his household, those whom he protects the souls of for eternity. Good news, there are things even an earthquake cannot shake, amen? Hebrews 12:25 through 27. I've been looking for a way to work earthquakes into my sermons. I finally found it. "See to it that you do not refuse him who is speaking. For if those did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less will we escape who turn away from him who warns from heaven." Our warning is a better warning. It's a more clear warning. It's a warning we can see. It's a warning we could touch. It was Jesus. He lived here among us. "And his voice shook the earth then, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven." Nobody's going to fix the roads on that one. This expression, "yet once more," denotes the removing of those things which can be shaken, as of created things, so that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. And that'll be us if we're under the wings of God. Serpents, lions, wolves, earthquakes. God is the guardian of our eternal souls. Let us be sure to be found in his household, guarded beneath his wings. Hebrews 12:28 through 29. Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. When the people of Israel dealt with God, sometimes it cost them their lives when they would be rebellious. It cost us our souls. If we don't want to acknowledge that blessed is he who came in the name of the Lord and be a part of his kingdom, it'll cost us our souls. But if we have given ourselves to him and continue to walk with him, then this saying applies to us, which is also in Hebrews chapter 13, part of it, and here in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 8, the Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. If we can do anything for you this evening to help you begin or continue in a walk in Jesus Christ, let us know as we stand and as we sing.